I thank you for who you are, Father. You're a good, good Father. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for our worship this morning, Father. Thank you for the testimonies this morning. Thank you for people that shared. And I thank you that we've now come to look at your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these incorruptible seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. I thank you that it is through understanding that these seeds remain and produce fruit. So we speak our understanding in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. We are back in Colossians. We're on week 11. Back to this awesome passage of scripture. You'll notice I've got a different Bible with me this week because I haven't fixed the one that fell apart last week. I'm going to need a microscope. I need a telescope to read this. This is wee writing. And it's confusing. You know when you've got your own Bible, your Bible that you like, you know where about your favorite verses are. So sometimes I'll be looking for a verse. There's that verse, what are the works that we need to do, Lord? And I can never actually remember that. It's round about John 6. But I know it's near the start of John, and it's the bottom of the left-hand page on the first column. So I look really good when I get to it quick. So I had to find Colossians this morning. Week 11, if you've not heard any from week 1 to 10, get it on murraygrace.org. Go to the resources page there, and that'll change your life if you understand the true nature of Jesus. So Colossians 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's why we know this next bit is all about Jesus. It says dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Awesome. Wonderful description, that passage, about Jesus Christ. Jesus has forgiven us through his blood. Jesus was and is preeminent over everything in this universe. Jesus was the agent of creation. Jesus was and is and always will be Almighty God. We saw that the first few weeks. Last week, Jesus, who is the head of the church, the body of believers. You know, how long do you think your physical body would last without your head? And yet we think the church can do without Jesus Christ. It's ridiculous. Great stuff so far, and it just gets better and better. I did the first part of verse 18 last week. I'm going to do the middle bit. I'm not even going to finish this verse. This verse is going to take me 3 weeks. Steve's looking and going, oh. He's trying to count on his fingers how long this is going to go on for. Colossians 1:18. We did this last week, this bit. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That firstborn from the dead. A little bit in the middle of a verse that we could just kind of wash over. But that, guys, is the best bit so far. It is awesome. Once I teach it and explain it, you'll see why. So we covered the first part last week about being the head of the church, the head of the body. We spoke about how the head is absolutely essential. We should be letting the head make the decisions, because the head in our body looks out for us. So does Jesus. Jesus should be the head of the church. And we looked at it on an individual level as well. He should be our head. He's the one that should be making the decisions for us, not ourselves. Did we look at, what was it we went to? Proverbs 3, wasn't it? 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord all thy heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Look to him and he'll direct your paths. We really need to live out Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. So I have got in my notes, what does the rest of this verse tell us? But I didn't actually finish the rest of the verse because I got stuck on that part. I got stuck on that, the firstborn from the dead. But there's a little bit before it says, who is the beginning? It says, head of the body, the church, who is the beginning? There's two meanings for that word beginning in Greek. Both interesting, both applicable to Jesus. First meaning is commencement. It's what started with. It's what everything started with. Jesus was the commencement. He was the start, wasn't he? He was the agent of creation. So he must have been there at the start. It's kind of obvious. Other meaning means chief in order of time, rank, or place. So not only was he first in time, not only did it all commence with him, but he's first in rank. We've looked at that already. He is Almighty God. He is numero uno, as they say, number one. Amen? All things we've seen before in this passage. All things I've talked about already in this series. But what do we know about repetition in the Word? It's important. We get things repeated. And once I get onto the rest of this passage, down to kind of verse 20, it's all repetition. It's all repeating what we already know, all hammering home the truths. Why? Because we need to be told the truth again and again and again. Do you know why? Because we forget it. That's why there's repetition. That's why we need to study the same stuff again and again. Because we forget it. And we were talking about some of the writing we've done and about all my digs that I used to do. And I'd remember going back in the past, I'd write something, I'd think, that's fantastic. That's a great revelation. And then I'd find it like 2 years before, I'd written it already. But I'd forgotten it. So we need to be reminded about all this stuff again and again and again. And we will do. All things we've seen before in this passage. But we know repetition is important. He is the first in time and he's the first in rank. He is God, Almighty God, and he's the Creator. Do we agree on that? Amen. Hallelujah. And then, let's get on to it. See, I can't find it in here because it's a different Bible. Where is it? The firstborn from the dead. Very, very special statement. Needs a bit of explanation, a bit of study. Once you understand this, this is a wee statement that you need to meditate upon. This is a wee statement and a teaching that you need to really get into your heart. I'm going to give a little bit of personal testimony towards the end. And it was the understanding of this, or the lack of understanding of it at one point, that really impacted on the way I was feeling, the way I was coping with sickness and things. It's really important. But let's first mention what this does not mean. Lots of time in the Word, isn't there, when something is said and it seems to be nonsense in the physical. I say, well, why is it nonsense in the physical? Because it's telling you about a spiritual principle. This is talking about a spiritual principle. This is indicating a spiritual truth. We're talking about Jesus here. We know what happened in the physical, didn't we? Jesus was born, lived his life, died, and was raised from the dead. Yes. Firstborn from the dead. But let's look at some other verses. Turn with me to 1 Kings 17. We're looking at what this doesn't mean. Kings 17:17, and we're talking about Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, after this widow had fed Elijah, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him down upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come back into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah raised the son from the dead. See, Jesus wasn't the first person to be raised from the dead. He wasn't the firstborn from the dead, physically. Look at John 11. See, we have to kind of not just look at the physical all the time. We need to look at the spiritual meaning behind things, not just the physical. John 11, 43 and 44. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, this is Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Here's another one. Jesus wasn't the firstborn from the dead. He wasn't even the second. So this can't be talking about the physical. It must be talking about the spiritual. So that, right, do what I normally do. Let's look at the Greek. I bet you that firstborn means about being preeminent, about being the best. But it didn't. You know what it means? It means firstborn. But it can't be. It can't be, because he wasn't the firstborn from the dead. The widow's son was before him. Lazarus was before him. He wasn't even the second. And it's not about this preeminence thing, although it does bring him preeminence. We'll see that in the next part of the verse, which I might get onto next week. And we know he's preeminent because we've done that already. No, it means he was firstborn. The firstborn from the dead. But he wasn't. Because other people were. But he was the firstborn from the dead. If we look at what he was raised as. If we look at what happens because of the resurrection. See, he was actually the firstborn of the dead, but the firstborn of a new race, of a new type of man, of a new creation, of a new being. When the widow's son was raised from the dead, he came back as the same. Just a normal boy. And it did nothing for you. Absolutely nothing. Apart from maybe a little bit of encouragement when you read the word and thinks I can raise people from the dead. One day. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he came back as the same. Just a normal bloke. And it did nothing for you. Apart from, again, maybe encourage you that you can raise people from the dead. Maybe encourage you that you can be raised from the dead if the need arises. But it did nothing for us. They came back as normal human beings, exactly the same as they were before they died. Jesus was raised from the dead. He came back as something completely new, something different, and something that did something for you, for every single one of us. Jesus came back as a new type of man, a new type of being, the first of a kind. And what he did meant an awful lot for every single one of us. You see, until very recently, when I spoke about the finished work of Jesus Christ, I would quite often tap on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Do you know that Jesus' work wasn't finished on the cross? He said it was finished, but he didn't mean his work. meant the effect of sin, he meant the law. But Jesus' finished work means so much more. Jesus died, went to the grave, and rose again. That is his finished work. The resurrection is just as important as the crucifixion. Well, it's great. Oh, what he did on the cross, what he did on the cross. Well, I can hear myself saying that. If you look back at my messages for the last 12 years, you'll hear me talking about that. But it's not just about what he did on the cross. It's about what he did in the grave and then what he did when he was raised again. That's his finished work. Jesus came as the first of a new type of men. That's what it means when he's the firstborn of the dead. The firstborn of this new thing. New creature, new creation, new man. Second man. Jesus died as Adam, raised as a new man. Why? Just for the heck of it? Just because God thought it'd be a good idea? A bit of fun? No! So you could die to Adam and be raised as a new man as well. Share in his crucifixion, share in his death, share in his resurrection. He was the firstborn of a new race. And we are the current incumbents of that. We get that. Elijah with the widow and the son didn't do anything for us. Lazarus being raised from the dead didn't do anything for us. Jesus wasn't even second being born from the dead. But in terms of this new race, this new man, he was first. And that's what this is talking about. New type of man. New type of man that we now are. This is so important. Jesus died as Adam, raised as Christ. And we can be the same. Jesus died as Adam, so we could be raised as Christ. And that's our born-again experience. Paul told the Galatians, they were crucified with Christ, yet live in him. Guys, we know the mess Adam made, don't we? We know that mess. We know it had to be sorted. That relationship between man and God had gone. Adam mucked it up. Is that a wife you gave me? Chris, I know Chris likes that joke, so I just put it in there for him. Adam made a real mess of it, didn't he? Man made a real mess of it. That relationship was gone. There had to be reconciliation between man and God. That's why Jesus, Almighty God, was born as a man. Because it was a man that mucked it up, so it was a man that would have to sort it, but only God could do it. How are we going to solve that conundrum? Man did it, man had to sort it, only God can do it. I'll tell you how we could sort it, because God would come to this earth as a man. Jesus Christ. That's why I spent so long going on about God, about Jesus being God. Only God could bring about forgiveness. That's what we've said, isn't it? But it's man that mucked up the situation. It's only man that could sort it. So it had to be Jesus, Almighty God, born as a man. Don't ask me how it works. All man, all God. But then don't try and get me to explain the Trinity. One and three, three and one. Word says it, so we believe it. We know Jesus was God. We know he was man. He had to come and sort out man's mess. Jesus, the man, God, if you want to say it like that, dealt with this. But when Jesus died, he died as Adam. And when he rose as this new man, this second man. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 with me. Corinthians 15, let's go 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that this was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, but afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus died as the last Adam. Took our sin to the cross, took all our sin to the cross, dealt with it, rose again, rose new with this spiritual dynamic it's talking about. This life, this perfection, this spiritual perfection that every single one of us can share in. When we are born again, we share in his death and in his resurrection. Our old sinful Adamic nature is crucified with him when we're born again. It dies and we are born again with this new spiritual dynamic, this new man, this new creature who is born in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24 if you want to look it up. When you're born again, you are reborn. That's what it means. You're born again into the second type of man. When you were born initially in the physical, you were born of the first kind. You were born with an Adamic sin nature. When you're born again, you get a second, this new man, this spiritual dynamic that we're talking about here. And it is perfect, and it is holy, and it is pure, and it's righteousness. We are now, when we're born again, we are of this new race of men. Jesus was the firstborn into this race. But now every single one of us join him in that new race of this race of new creatures, new beings with this perfect spiritual dynamic. It is awesome. Go to my most favorite passage of scripture. Well done. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. I just want to look at verse 17 and 21, but because I can't, I'm just going to read the whole lot. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You sang that today. Did you believe it? Amen. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I'm recognizing that I'm getting really loud because I'm getting really excited. I love this truth. This is awesome. These passages kind of explain the same thing. He took the Adamic nature at the cross and died as the first man so we could be reborn as a second man. This Jesus man, he took all our sin, he who knew no sin. He took that Adamic rubbish so that we might be the righteousness of God in him, so that we might be the second man, this new type of man. It's awesome. Verse 21, all of our sin unto him so we could get all of his righteousness. You know, you might think I'm really arrogant, but I know that right now I'm as righteous as God. Amen. I might not look it. My body might not display it now and again. My mouth doesn't display it all the time. My mind doesn't think like that all the time. But the real me, the real me, the bit that God looks at, that born-again spirit, that second man, that new creature, that's perfect, holy, and righteous. And that's what God looks at. Awesome. Here we're comparing the first man to the second man, the old man compared to the new man. He took our death so that we could have life. That's the gospel. That's good news, isn't it? That's awesome. Now, of course, we should know this is talking about our spirit man. This is where people get so confused. A lot of Christians get confused. Vic, how can I be righteous? You didn't see me kicking the dog this morning. No, that's not a very righteous act, but it doesn't stop you being righteous. I'm talking about it's your spirit that's important here. You should all know we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And that spirit is new and righteous and perfect and holy and just like Jesus. Yes, this might look like Vic, this shell. It might speak like Vic. But you know what? The real Vic is the same as Jesus. You arrogant thing. No. I'm saying what comes out of the Bible. Now, I'm not standing here and telling you that this body is perfect. I mean, it is like an Adonis, but it's not perfect. And this mind is definitely, it's pretty good, but it's not perfect. I know that. But see, in my spirit, the real me, perfect in every way. It's that second type of man. Because the old Adamic's gone. It died, didn't it? And it was always created new. You know when you were born again, you didn't get a new body, you didn't get a new mind, but you got a new spirit. That new type. Oh, made righteous. Awesome. Jesus died as a man with all our sin, as prophesied in Isaiah 53, confirmed in 1 John 2:2. How much sin did Jesus die for? What did he pay for? Some sins? All. Hebrews 10, what's the key word we use a lot in Hebrews 10? All. All sin, all men, all time. Awesome. But he did so much more than that. He was then raised from the dead after dealing with all that sin. And we share in that process when we're born again. I am repeating myself, but it's so important. Our old sin nature, our old man, our Adamic nature died. And we are reborn, recreated with this new, perfect, holy, righteous spirit. I'm telling you it lots of times because you need to hear it again and again and again. And you need to get it rammed into your heart and understand it. So that truth will start displaying fruit in your lives. Not enough of us have this true revelation. I'm thinking about myself over the last week. There are times when it seemed I'd never heard of this. The way I was behaving, like a complete numpty in the flesh. Now, see, when you get it and you understand it and you're operating the spiritual, boom. Results. This new identity, this new man, this new creature that they're talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's our real identity. Not that fleshy thing that you look in the mirror at every morning. That's not the real you. Not what you think about. That's not the real you. This new man that's in you, Jesus, the firstborn of this new race, that exactly the same as what Jesus was in his spirit. You are that in your spirit. He was the firstborn of the dead. What an amazing truth. First of this new race of men, perfect in spirit, and that is us now. We need to believe that. So I challenge you this morning, my friends. What are you identifying with? What do you think of yourselves? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Are you identifying with this new, perfect, righteous spirit? Are you identifying with your flesh, with your mind, will, and emotions, or the old you? Because I'm sure some of us are still identifying as the old man, a dirty sinner. Some of us identify like that. Or are we identifying what we see in our body? Are we identifying what we think in our mind, what we speak out? Or are we identifying with that perfect, holy, righteous spirit? Are we thinking of ourselves as this new man, this new race, this new creature? Or are we thinking of ourselves as this old self, still looking at our mistakes and our errors, still looking at what we used to be? What are we identifying with? Are we looking at what our soul says, what our mind, will, and emotion says? Or are we looking at what the Bible says about our spirit? What are we looking at? What are we identifying with? I'll ask you again, are you identifying as this old Adamic man or this new perfect second man? What are you identifying with? Now, if I came to ask you, you'd all give me the right answer. You know what the right answer is? Some of you nodding. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, new man, Vic. I'm identifying with that. Really? Really? Are we? I'll tell you what you're identifying with. I'll look at your fruit. I'll look at your life. Let's get the why out of there. I'll look at our fruit. I'll look at our lives. I'll listen to what we're saying. I'll listen to what we're putting on Facebook. You know, we can see. I can see what we're identifying with through fruit, through lives. See, this is important, guys. Proverbs 23:7 is another one of my favorite verses. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are we identifying with? What are we thinking about? What are we focusing on? The old stuff, the old us, and the nonsense, or the new me? So what we're focusing on, that's what will be made manifest, that's what will be displayed, that's the fruit you will portray, you will give out. You guys, do you know you can give out bad fruit as well as good fruit? Everything we do is fruit. Every thought we have will result in fruit. Everything we say will result in fruit. Everything we do will result in fruit. Fruit can be good or bad. Any amongst us sick, we're still identifying with the old man, with the old nature. There's something in our belief system, something in our thought system holding us back in that area. Because let me tell you one thing, guys, the new man ain't sick. The new man has no pain. A born-again spirit, there's nothing sick in that. No illness, no pain, no disease. So what are we identifying with? If we're sick, we're not identifying with the new man. Is the new man poor? Is the new man lacking in anything? The answer is no. Ephesians 1:3, we have all things. So if we have some area of lack, some area of poverty, we're not identifying with the new man. We're identifying with the old. If we're feeling rejection, if we're feeling depressed, focusing on the old man, focusing on the old way, or focusing on your flesh, or focusing on your mind and will and emotions, you're not identifying with the new. Everything can be traced back to this. What are we identifying with? The new man or the old man? See, in our new man, the second type of man, this man that Jesus rose as so that we could all be that, this new man that he brought into existence has no sickness, no poverty, no disease, no self-esteem issues, no depression, no feeling of rejection, nothing in that new man, because it's perfect and it's holy and it's righteous. Your new man is whole and does not need to be healed. That's the real you. Therefore, we could say, you're healed. You're whole. You don't need to be healed. This is something I was trying to tell myself last week. I will get to that eventually, because I'm not standing up here saying I'm perfect. Even I get it wrong sometimes. Your new man is prosperous and doesn't need to be made rich. Your new man is accepted in the beloved and is never rejected. Your new man is adopted in the family of God and is never alone. Your new man is perfect, holy, righteous, and has everything it needs. I've got down Ephesians 1:3. All spiritual blessings already have it. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, that's talking about you have everything you need for life and godliness. Already have it. Oh, I don't, Vic. Yes, you do. You just don't have it in your body or your mind yet. It's in your spirit. In the new man, in the real you. That new man that Jesus died and rose again as so we could get the same. It's awesome. He was the firstborn of this new race, and we join it as soon as we're born again. As soon as we're born again. And the rest of the Christian life is just simply understanding that. Is it that simple, Vic? Aye. It's a long process. It's not easy, but it's that simple. The rest of our Christian life is understanding and believing in what we already have in the new man. And as we get that understanding, get that knowledge, see that we have everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Everything's already there. He's brought that for us, and we've got it. All we do now is understand that, believe it, think it, speak it out. Boom. It is a simple process, but it's a long process, and it's not easy. What are we believing about ourselves? Here's a key, and I'll try and, it kind of came to me as we were worshiping, so I'll try and explain where I think I'm coming from here. Let's just think about the healing thing again, okay? When we are showing manifestations of sickness, what are we thinking? Are we thinking like a sick person trying to get healed? Or are we thinking of a healed person trying to fight sickness off from coming on us? Well, it's exactly the same thing, Vic. No, it's not. It is a completely different mindset. If we are thinking as a sick person fighting illness, we're identifying with the old man. We're identifying with what's gone. We're identifying with our flesh. If we're thinking, I'm healed, what is this stupid bellyache doing trying to come upon me? I'm not having that. Just get off me. Stop trying. Satan, get behind me. See the difference there? In that sense, you're identifying with the spiritual. You're identifying with the new man. You're identifying with the real you. I am healed. And this thing trying to come on me just needs to get off. Actually, I'm a sick person trying to be healed. Heal me, God. Heal me, God. I speak out healing. Heal me, God. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. You might think I'm taking a mickey out of somebody. I am. That was me on Friday night. I'm not having a go at any of you, so I'm having a go at me. I'm speaking from personal experience here. So I'm not having a go at anyone. What are we identifying with? What are we thinking of? See, we need to get this into our minds. We may be showing signs of sickness, but we actually don't need to be healed. Really? Yeah, well, in your new man, you are healed. So, technically, theologically, I don't know, whatever way you want to do it, you don't actually need to be healed. Because we have been healed. And we need to kind of stop even thinking, I have been healed. What we need to think is, I am whole. I'm perfect. I'm whole. I'm righteous. I'm rich. I'm accepted. I'm loved. I'm whole. And then these things that try to come upon me, no, I'm not having that. Because this is my identity. And if we're over here, yeah, I am sick. I need to be healed. Yes, I am poor. I need prosperity. Now, where I used to be, this is a kind of, you get revelations as you go along your journey. Prosperity was my thing. This is great, prosperity. I don't need prosperity. Why? Because I'm prosperous, Pauline. I just need to identify with that, and it'll be made manifest. You see where it's simple, but it's not easy. And guys, I'm standing here preaching this to you, and I'll tell you what happened last week. Just, you seem to forget these things. Go back to operating the old way. So I'm not saying it is easy. But don't condemn yourself, because I had a couple of successes last week. I'll tell you about them as well. This is key to our understanding. We need to get this. We are whole. We are prosperous. We are accepted. And that new man, that new identity, that we're part of this new race of men, these perfect men, just like Jesus. Now back in relationship with God the Father. That's a wonderful truth. We must all identify there with this new man in our born-again spirit. The real us. Yes, we all make mistakes and sin. But that's just the programming, the residue left over. That's not the old man still in there. We don't have a sin nature anymore. We don't have an Adamic nature. It's dead. But there's little bits of programming left in that we still believe those silly things. That's, we haven't renewed our mind fully. That's why we can still sin. What are we focusing on? When you do these things, what are we focusing on? The things that we did wrong or our righteousness? Focus on our righteousness, and you'll find those things that you're doing wrong will go away. Maybe not overnight. Oh, hallelujah, if it is overnight, that'll be a miracle. Didn't it happen overnight for me? Darn it. But if it happens to you, hallelujah. I'll glorify in your successes. Amen. You are righteous. Think on that. Focus on that. The new you is perfect. Identify with that. Identify with your righteousness and your perfection right at the time you're in that sin. Are you giving me permission to sin, Vic? No, I'm not giving you permission to sin, but I know what the word says. I know you're human beings. I know you will sin. Have you just spoken death over me? No, I'm actually kind of, I think I've just spoken the truth. I don't want you to sin. I'm not giving you a license to sin. But if you do it, say, praise God, I'm righteous. Praise God, I'm perfect. Praise God, I'm forgiven. And those desires will go. Amen. Healing will be made manifest. Prosperity will be made manifest. Acceptance, joy, peace will be made manifest. Keep identifying with the old and you get all the results from the old. You know, identify as a sinner and you will definitely sin. Identify as a righteousness person, you're more likely to behave righteously. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I am righteous, I am righteous, I am righteous. If you think you're righteous, you're going to behave like a righteous person. If you think you're a sinner, you're going to behave like if you focus on bananas all the time, guys. I'm not going to go off on the actual ones because folk will get upset at me again. Bananas! They're not good for you. Don't eat them. They're on the top shelf. Get them in brown paper bags. Don't go there. You'll all want a banana. Don't focus on your bananas. Focus on your righteousness. Because it's not your righteousness. Whose righteousness is it anyway? It's his. But you've got that. You're this new race that you are. Oh. Okay, last week, I thought about a couple of things to do with health. That as I was sitting pondering on it this morning, it's kind of a good example of what I've been teaching on. So we went to Minister's Conference last week. It was awesome. It wasn't Grace and Faith, as Michelle seemed to think there. But that's okay. Should have kept that communion for next May. But that's all right. So we were at Minister's Conference last week. Brilliant. So we left here on Sunday after having preached and worshipping. In the spirit. Heading to Minister's Conference. Kind of on a spiritual high level. This is great, can't wait. I felt a cold coming on me. And I felt it going into my chest. Now, years ago, the old Vic, that would have flattened me. I'd have been out of action for at least a week. But I was in this spiritual attitude. Church was great, we're going away to conference, fantastic. Thinking about the Word, just being in the Word, thinking about it. I could tell myself, I can't get sick. I'm perfect. I'm whole. I'm not going to get sick. Now, a couple of times during the week, I got a little bit tired, a little bit weak, felt it a little bit, but I just kept pushing on, and no issue. I've got a tiny little bit of it remaining, a little bit snotty, a little bit gunky, but nothing in my chest. Why? Because I was identifying in the spiritual. And I was identifying with a new man. And it was great. And then we left conference. And for old time's sake, we stopped off at a little town, beautiful little town, went to an old hotel that we'd been in. And it was rubbish. It was a nightmare. It was awful. Now, we did go out, we had a lovely meal out, but we went back to this hotel and it was awful. Well, even worse. You know what's even worse? I got up in the morning and the breakfast, the cooked breakfast that I looked forward to in hotels was woeful. The world nearly ended. The sausages. Oh, I could tell you about the sausages. They were just, the eggs were like, the yolks were like golf balls. Man, it was that bad. Nancy didn't have bacon, but I pushed through. I pushed through. I had 3 slices of bacon, but I was glad when I finished them, Pauline. I was glad when I finished them, but I pushed through. You know what I'm like with my cooked breakfast? Woeful. It was our anniversary, so I paid for some extra stuff, and it was rubbish. Pay for a bottle of bubbly and you get Prosecco. Big box of chocolates, 8. I won't tell you how much the fruit bowl cost. It was like 3 apples, a pear, and some monkey grapes. So, why am I telling you this? And then the sat-nav, coming home, trying to get from where we were at the M6, and she was all over the place. Sat-nav was winding me up. So I get to Edinburgh, just a touch in the flesh. Just a touch in the flesh, yeah? Just a touch in the flesh. And I had this pain come on me. And it was awful. I only had about 3 platefuls in the Chinese buffet. Because I was so sore. I was holding on to the table. And I was trying to do what I could do in the physical. I was pushing things to get it. And I was proclaiming healing, and I was doing this, and I was doing that, I was doing the next thing, and I was mumping and moaning. And it was getting worse and worse. So we left the place, we got on the bus to go back to Lisa's, and these 2 guys are sitting kicking away in front of me, and I'm having a great time, and I'm sitting in the back suffering. And it was getting worse. And you know, I thought, Vic, What is going on? What are you doing? And I'd been thinking about this message, because I knew I was going to be preaching on it. And I was thinking, what's going on here, Vic? You know, you're not sick. You're spirit man, you're perfect, you're whole. What are you doing? And I started focusing on the spiritual, started focusing away from the flesh, the hotel, the lack of value for money, and all that, and a sat nav, and everyone, and I started focusing on the spiritual, and I started to get relief on the bus, and we were walking up to Lisa's house, and it started getting feeling better, and we got in. I said to the guys, I was going to go to bed anyway, so I like going to bed early. So I'm just going to go to my bed. So I went into the bedroom. I started typing out the message. And I went to sleep pain-free. And got up on Saturday morning, I said, no, it's fine now, perfect. Why? Because Vic stopped looking at the old, at the flesh, at the nonsense, and started looking in the spiritual, started focusing on the spiritual, on that new man who doesn't have a hernia. There's no hernias in heaven. There's no hernias in the perfect spiritual race that Jesus created. None. I don't have one. Friday night, trying to tell me I had, and I was focusing on it. And boy, it was seer. But when you focus on the spiritual, no. So I'm trying to highlight that it is a simple process. It's not easy. And guys, even your pastor forgets and gets it wrong. I had a little bit of help. That hotel helped me. Helped me operate in the flesh. They had an anointing to get me to operate in that. But who chose to focus on the rubbish sausages? Who chose? Yeah, Nunzi's, no, not I. She's sitting there all holy as thou and getting on fine and probably getting extremely irate on the inside at my performance on Thursday and Friday. But it's all about what we're thinking on, what we're focusing on, guys. Focus on the old, the pain, focus on the mistakes. They're going to keep happening. Focus on the new, that new race that's inside you. Jesus was the firstborn. I don't know what number we are. We're well up there. Well, we're not the last either. He's the firstborn of that new race. You're in that race now. That new race of perfection, guys. Next time you see me mumping and moaning, remind me. You're perfect, Vic. You're righteous, Vic. Get out of that pity party, Vic. Get out of the flesh. If folk would just cook a decent sausage, it would be a lot easier. I mean, how hard is it to fry a soft egg? See, don't focus on that, guys. It's on the spiritual. What's important? The quality of the sausage that you get on a Friday morning, or the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead as the firstborn, and we've got this perfection inside of us. What's important? Sometimes we get it around the wrong way. But it's him that's important. Friends, I encourage you, find out what you are in this new man, this new creature, this perfect spirit that you have through your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, but the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, in the grave, and on his resurrection. That's awesome. Focus on your true identity, who you are in Christ and through Christ, what you have in Christ and through Christ. That's the key to success, guys. Amen. Hallelujah.